The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello, once again. This is the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast and radio broadcast ministry called Grace in Focus. We are so glad that you are joining us today as we come to Romans 8, especially verses 38 and 39, in Ken Yates and Catherine Wright's flyover discussion of the book of Romans. The last two verses of this chapter present a lot of hope for us. And they have through the years for many believers. But what exactly is the hope that these verses present? Are they about eternal security, or is it something else that they primarily focus on? So stay tuned and listen to the discussion just ahead for some clarity about God's love in Romans chapter 8. Another place where you can hopefully find a lot of clarity is our website. That is faithalone.org, faithalone.org. Many resources there for you to avail yourself of in the form of books and blogs and videos and articles, hundreds of articles. You'll find out about our magazine, which is also called Grace in Focus. So I invite you to go there today. That's faithalone.org. All right, now for the aforementioned discussion, Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
Well, we are at the end of Romans chapter 8, the final couple verses of Romans chapter 8. I'm sure that most of our listeners have heard these verses and have quoted these verses and have loved these verses for many, many years. So, Catherine, why don't you read verses 38 and 39?
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
As we've seen in many of our discussions here in Romans chapter 8, these verses are often used to describe the eternal security of the believer. And as we've said, the eternal security of the believer is a true biblical doctrine. Once you have believed in Jesus for eternal life, you can never lose it. And these verses are used to support that. And you can see why. Paul says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is taken to simply mean that Jesus loves all his sheep, Jesus loves all his children, and there's nothing that can change that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in death, and there's nothing in life. So if I'm alive or if I'm dead, I'm still his child. There's no angel or principality or power, and those are taken in different ways, but sometimes they're taken to mean good angels and bad angels and also governmental angels.
Yeah, power. Kings and governments.
So there's nothing Joe Biden can do to me, or if I live in another country, the president of that country, even the most powerful people, these would be the powers, perhaps, evil angels, and the word angels would be good angels. So there's nothing in the spirit world, and there's no power in this world, human power, that could separate me from God. When it talks about things present nor things to come, that covers everything. Nothing I can do now. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do in the future.
These are bookends. All of these are death or life and anything in the middle, right?
Right. Like
height or death or anything in the middle, right?
Right. Like inclusios.
Yes, inclusios.
Inclusios. Right. Everything from one end to the other and everything in the middle.
Right.
And then normally in verse 39, height or depth, there's no place I can go. Climb Mount Everest. Or if I get in a submarine and go to the deeps of the, what is it, Mariana's Trench there in the Pacific?
The Bermuda Triangle.
Whatever the place is, I can never get away from God's love. And then Paul, in case we didn't get it, he says, nor any other created thing. And we've probably heard Satan is a created thing. And so even he cannot separate us. I'm a created thing. So
yes.
I cannot separate myself from the love of God, which is in Christ. These verses are often used to present that there's nothing that can separate the believer from Christ and cause him to go to hell, cause him to go to the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a true statement. But the question is that what Paul is talking about here?
Is that the context?
And what we would say is No. As wonderful as that doctrine is, that's not what these verses are talking about.
I'll have to admit, I used to use these verses that way.
Oh, I have too.
In fact, in my Bible that I'm holding right now, I have the note assurance next to it. So I saw this as a really great passage to show people that they couldn't lose eternal life. But the context, again, as we've been arguing through these episodes, is on sanctification and suffering. And so the immediate context, even starting in verse 35 and 36, he's talking about tribulations and distress and persecution. And so the context is not about the eternal security of the believer. It's about tribulations and suffering.
Well, I'm glad you brought up those verses, because notice the words, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that's the way verse 39 ends, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in verse 35, who shall separate us? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. We are killed. We are counted like sheep. So as you pointed out, when he's talking about who, or I would say what, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Greek word there can be what. You could say who if you're going to talk about any created being as well. Mm-hmm. The context is, as you said, Catherine, is of suffering. And that fits perfectly with what we've been talking about in Romans chapter 8.
Yeah, and I think also it's so important to think how often when you are going through difficult times, or you're talking to somebody who is going through a hard time, and what do they think? They often think, God's mad at me. God hates me. I've done something wrong. And so what an encouragement to come to such a passage and say, no, nothing can separate you from his love. When you're going through this persecution or this trial, it's not because he hates you. It's he still loves you, and nothing can separate you from that love. The circumstances that you are in are not capable of separating you from his love. What an encouraging thought for somebody who's struggling or going through one of these situations.
Yes, and so what we see is that these sufferings, these trials, these tribulations are not a display of God's wrath. And that's important in the book of
right.
Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Romans 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed against the world for its sin. And in Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about tribulations. And he says, we rejoice in them basically because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Spirit who's been given to us.
Mm-hmm.
The argument in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is that these sufferings, these tribulations, these difficulties that we go through, they don't separate us from the love of God. They are a display of the love of God.
And that he's using, again, these things to transform us into his image, which is what we talked about earlier.
In the previous podcast.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We are called to reign with Christ, to be conformed to his image. Well, if Jesus suffered and God highly exalted him, if we want to reign with him and be exalted with him and be glorified with him, then we can expect that we're going to go through difficulties as well.
Yeah, and I think also reading through this list as well, the way that it's typically applied as an assurance passage, which again, yes, it's true, believers cannot lose their eternal life. But it's interesting to me when you look at this passage in context, neither death nor life, for example. Well, if you're being persecuted, which is the context, they may take your life or they may not. You know, you think of Paul when he's in prison, you know, whether I live or die, it's fine, right? Philippians 1. But it's not saying whether you fall into really bad sin or not, which is usually how, again, it's applied, right? That as a believer, if you fall into a really bad sin, that he's going to wash his hands of you and send you to hell. Even this list is not that depiction. It's dealing with, again, when you're under this persecution or trials or distress or peril, right? All those descriptions there in the previous verse, it's those circumstances, the government or death, or if they throw you into the ocean, or if they stick you up on a mountain or crucify you, height nor depth, none of these circumstances, whatever the world can do to you.
Or even the unseen world.
Exactly. Or the unseen world can do to you. And it cannot separate you from his love.
And, you know, I can't help but think of Paul's thorn in the flesh.
Right.
In 2 Corinthians 12, whatever this physical trial that he's going through, he says, I look at this and God is teaching him humility in that. So he says, I rejoice in this. They're a display of God's love for me. Mm-hmm. They don't separate me from the love of God. They don't show that I'm under his wrath in Romans. Instead, he's conforming me to the image of his son.
Okay, so I got a question for you. Let's say somebody were to come to you and say, okay, I see what you're saying, and yes, contextually, that's true, but I still want to use this verse as an assurance verse. What would you say to them?
I would tell them not to use this verse. We run into this when we go overseas and teach for GES. People say, okay, yeah, that's not what this verse is talking. It's not talking about eternal security, but it sure is good. And they may even say, I've used it to convince someone of eternal security. But when we use these verses out of context, we miss what's being taught.
You lose what Paul is actually saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Use another verse like, Jesus, the woman at the well, you'll never thirst, or the nevers in the Gospel of John, never hunger, never thirst, never die. Those teach eternal security. Use those.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Grace in Focus. We hope you come back to continue our series on Romans. I think we still got a few more episodes in us. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the upcoming episode of Grace in Focus, as we begin next week, we will move back into questions and answers that have been submitted by listeners. An interesting question: what are we going to be doing in the new heaven and the new earth for all eternity? You will find it interesting. Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.